Hello, one and all, and welcome to the 381st episode of the Quarantine Cast, recorded on October 19th, 2021. A question I keep coming back to as I'm entering what feels like the final hours of Metroid Dread. If you guys had a gun for an arm, would you rather that be your right arm or your left arm?
Left.
Left?
So I can still if do you're right, stuff
it
with my
should
right.
be the opposite of your dominant hand. You're yeah. crazy to choose anything else.
But you don't shoot like a non-gun. You don't shoot a regular handgun with your non-dominant hand. You don't
this
think
is
that
not a
up?
Regular handgun. It's an extension of your body. Like
this is a gun that you shouldn't be using very often. Like some people have guns. I don't think they use them every day.
Okay.
No, fair. It's their multi-tool. Like they. Just pulls out a gun, uses it to, like, it's used as a paperweight, it's used as a hammer, he pulls out the firing pin and uses it as, like, a toothpick. Yeah. Oh
my God. It's just...
Yeah, what kind of gun, too? Yeah, like a real gun or, like, a Metroid gun?
So, you know, I also
I don't think it matters.
That dimension of it. Is this a Mega Man Metroid gun situation where it's, like, an energy cannon? Or is this a Barrett from Final Fantasy VII situation where it is just a gun that fires bullets at the end of his hand?
I feel like it's still left hand, no matter what.
Is this just, like... a Remington 38 special or something, just like literally attached to the end of my arm, and it's just like a revolver. Like, what the fuck?
Just duct taped a gun.
No.
I got a gun on my arm.
You did not have your arm become a gun. You lost your arm in an accident, and then they bolted like a bolt action rifle to a prosthetic hook.
I also wonder if we'll have to change the terminology of dominant handedness if you have a gun for a hand, because I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that whichever hand you have a gun on, that is your strongest hand now. That is the dominant hand.
So then you're saying, but wouldn't you want then to dominant hands, even though, like, in terms of pure net gain and net loss, no matter what, whichever hand has the gun on it is going to be the same level of dominance because it's a gun. So then your right hand, if you're right-handed, is a little more dominant than your left hand. Not as in relative comparison to a gun, which is like way up here, but if one's a little higher, you'd rather have the shittier one get the crazy upgrade than the already better one get the crazy upgrade. Just net gain. It's just pure math.
Because guess what, Lucas? I get a gun on my left hand. I can still shoot that gun the same as if I had the gun on my right hand. Maybe not quite as well, but my right hand is now able to hold a sword. I'm not comfortable swinging a sword with my left hand. You give me a left-hand gun and a right-hand sword, I think that's
that is
like
the thing.
The
How
maximum.
Are we activating the gun in our hand? Is it? Do we still have a hand, but it's fused to the handle of the gun, and the only thing that can work is the trigger finger to pull the trigger? Mm-hmm. Or is like your arm just ends in a gun that you control with your brain mnemonically? Or is it your arm ends with a gun that has a handle and a trigger, and you have to hold your own gun hand with your dominant hand and shoot that? So you look like a cop who's like kind of scared, like holding up a criminal, holding the gun with two hands,
I
like
said
shaking
freeze.
A little bit. Yeah, exactly. Like what's the vibe here? Is it just a muscle controlling, or do you need a finger to pull this actual trigger, this flesh trigger?
I always imagined it as a kid working like, no, the gun is, like, around their hand, so they're just, like, squeezing or something, and that's making the gun
shoot.
Oh,
wait, the hand is still in there. It's still a fully functional hand, but you are just choosing to hold the gun in one hand or the other, like real life.
So you're like a turtle inside a shell.
Yeah.
and like, but it's your hand inside a gun casing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, within the gun casing, there are muscles and joints physically pulling the trigger, but like, you can't remove the gun, or like, it would, yeah, be like ripping a shell off a turtle. Like, it would be horrendous. Yeah. Are there nerves in the gun? Like, if you got shot in the gun, would that,
ooh,
would that hurt?
I think, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
How do you reload the gun? Do you eat?
You eat. There's just turning like hardened bone into bullets. And, like,
oh.
Yeah, this is getting horrifying.
No, I assume that either your body is just processing, you know, vegetables and bread and turning them into bullets, or you're just eating bullets. Swallowing
bullets.
Is it
turning them into metal bullets, though, or like weird biological bullets, like where they're creating a bone, but it's more dense than your normal bone, and like it filed into perfect little cylinders that then get loaded up into your flesh gun and shot out.
I don't think Lucas ever intended the gun to be a flesh gun. One way or another, it is just a gun. One way or another, attached to a person, it's not part of them.
Yeah. But if it's got, like, nerves and shit in there, and you feel pain when it gets, it gets shot and shit, then there's some sort of biological element going on.
I totally forgot about the handful of characters that have guns for legs, like the Scotsman and Samurai Jack and what's-her-name from Planet Terror. But I think we've thoroughly explored this topic.
That sounds dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Scotsman is supposed to be dumb. Planet Terror, they play it straight, but that's a grindhouse horror movie.
Do they, like, rocket jump? Like, how do they have to sit down to shoot their guns?
Just really flexible.
Oh, they just lift one leg at a time?
Yeah.
Or they jump in the air and kick both legs out so they can quickly shoot and then land back on the ground like 1 second later.
I think the Scotsman at some point is like, he sits in a chair and does it.
The Scotsman is in a wheelchair in his older years. Because
it's just one leg.
That sounds more effective.
It's just one leg. Yeah.
That unironically sounds like it would be more effective. You'd always have your guns, both guns.
No. It's just one leg. In the right direction. You got one regular leg.
He's got one gun leg?
Yeah, one gun leg.
Mm-hmm. No. And then I think when he comes back as a ghost, he still has the machine gun leg for some reason.
It's a ghost machine gun.
Ooh.
I mean, yeah, I guess we always imagine ghosts in clothes, and there's no difference between a ghost in a dress and a ghost with a gun attached to its body. Both not, like, biologically part of them, in theory.
I wonder where that, like, ghosts are just, like, wispy from the waist down thing comes from. Where in culture did that originate?
Yeah, that's wrong, right? Like,
yeah,
there's just no reason that would be the case.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like legs just,
yeah,
legs are too much, man.
I guess they don't need them. Ghosts can fly. Like,
yeah,
it depends on the medium.
So
I don't think all ghosts can fly.
My take on this is literally that, like, a lot of people back in the day, their vision of like, oh my god, I saw a fucking ghost, it looks like this, is because they literally saw a person in a bedsheet and thought it was a ghost.
I think that the most likely ghost is just someone that's walking around. Like, they're not floating weirdly, they're not able to fly and shit like that. They're just walking like the rest of us, but are dead, and there's some sort of like energy left over from the dead person, right? Okay. Like, the most likely ghost is the most grounded ghost.
Casper, the most grounded ghost.
Casper's not. Casper's got wispy bullshit and flies around and shit.
Casper looks like a kid in a blanket.
The most likely ghost is from the new CBS show Ghosts.
Oh yeah, yeah.
People walking around. Mm-hmm. They like phase through doors and shit, but like otherwise, yeah, they just walk around a house all the time.
In that commercial where the guy has the steel I-beam through his chest, is that like how he died, or is he just walking around and like that's steps through an I-beam?
Yeah, because there's also like a Boy Scout.
Yeah,
that's how they die.
Yeah,
I'm guessing they got impaled by the I-beam. No, they didn't like pick up the I-beam naturally. Like, oops.
Well, no, he was just like walking around, and then there was an I-beam floating in the air, and he phased through it or whatever, and that's what that.
Oh, very briefly.
Yes. Like, yeah.
And then we caught him in that one moment where there was an I-beam lined up with it. No. Yeah, he died by being impaled from the I-beam. Yeah, there's a Boy Scout leader with an arrow through his neck. There's in the pilot there was a dude who got his head cut off by the mafia, but I think they kind of moved on from that character.
Okay, that's awful. And so he's just the headless horseman now,
or no, like he's got a head but it's loosely attached and like falls off all the time.
Like that Harry Potter ghost.
Yeah,
headless Nick or whatever.
I think it's pretty gruesome, and that's why they kind of moved away from it.
Jesus.
Andrew, you're deeper in Harry Potter lore than I think either Ryan or I. How do ghosts work in that universe? Because they're...
I don't know.
Oh.
Magic. I am not deep into Harry Potter lore. I do think I remember... I don't remember if this was in the movies or if it was in a book, but I do think they asked Nick, or one of the ghosts at one point, like... Someone they knew died, and they're wondering, like, oh, can we, like, fucking bring him back to life as a ghost? And he's like, no, it's not how it works. You have to choose before you die if you're going to, like, put a spell on yourself that will make you a ghost once you do die. So, like, everyone that's a ghost chose before their death if they want to be a ghost or not. I think
I've got J.K.
thing.
Rowling's post.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this might be full of like retcons and shit to make her seem more progressive, but in the world of Harry Potter, a ghost is the transparent, three-dimensional imprint of a deceased witch or wizard, which continues to exist in the mortal world. Muggles cannot come back as ghosts, which was one of my questions. Are all ghost wizards? And the wisest witches and wizards choose not to. It is those with unfinished business, whether in the form of fear, guilt, regrets, or overt attachment to the material world, who refuse to move on to the next dimension. So basically, yeah, they're just... every wizard is given the choice. Do you want to hang out here or move on to, like, heaven world? And some, for some reason, choose to stay.
I guess that was going to be my follow-up question. Is there a different afterlife in Harry Potter than being a ghost?
Yeah.
Is there a different afterlife for wizards?
Right. Muggles, it sounds like a jack shit.
Yeah, muggles don't get the chance to be a ghost. Do they not get any afterlife? And wizards do? That seems really unfair.
Right? Well, okay, this is J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter.
Unfair. That's like the whole point,
of course,
right?
She was going to set shit up like that.
All right, death. Oh, just lost it. Sorry.
You back?
I do not know what is going on with my internet lately. Ever since that power outage, it has been spotty.
While the purely physical aspect of death is fully understood, the nature of what lies beyond it was a mystery to wizards, witches, and muggles alike, beyond the fact that there was some sort of afterlife.
Well,
when a witch or wizard dies, they can choose to leave an imprint of their soul in the form of a ghost, but few opt to become ghosts. There's a limbo plane, so very Catholic.
I think that was in the last Harry Potter book.
That's where Harry Potter meets Dumbledore.
This doesn't sound like much of a mystery to me.
Voldemort was maimed and mutilated by the Horcruxes, so he's trapped in limbo. They don't really talk about what's after. Yeah, I think it's just heaven.
No, I mean, like, that is so much more than what we in real life know already. The couple levels of the afterlife, apparently, which are definitely real.
No, it's Death Stranding.
Yeah.
Ghosts can't feel physical pleasure.
Ooh.
They cannot gain any more knowledge or, like, sense of perspective than they had when they died.
What?
Dude, you ever try to masturbate with a ghost hand?
Ghosts tend to be poor company.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's just what J.K. Rowling wrote. Yeah. Man, they kind of suck. They're kind of douchebags. But ghosts cannot return a sensible answer on what it is like to die because they chose an impoverished version of life instead.
Mm.
I don't know. Turn flames blue. Witches and wizards are much more susceptible to what muggles call paranormal activity, and will see ghosts plainly where a muggle might only feel that a haunted place is cold or creepy. Muggles who insist that they see ghosts in perfect focus are either A, lying, or B, wizards showing off in breach of the international statute of secrecy.
Ghosts are real. If muggles see it, though, they're fucking lying.
And they're pieces of shit. Ghost adventures? That stuff's all a scam.
J.K. Rowling has put a lot of thought into justifying her universe based on the gifted and talented kids. Like, this is a lot. Wow.
J.K. Rowling's very much into the idea of superiority in one category or another.
Literally, genetically, these wizards can see ghosts. The normies cannot.
Yeah, I want to see the midichlorian. J.K. Rowling, you know, took like a couple more biology courses in college. Like, imagine the shit that we would have had to put up with about like wizard genetics.
Oh,
and
my
like
god, wizard
squares
sperm.
And a bunch of bullshit recessive genes.
My father was Jewish, so his sperm count was very low. Therefore, I'm only half wizard.
Wait, yeah, isn't that a thing in Harry Potter? There are like some people on the fringes. Yeah.
That's the whole conflict, is Voldemort thinks that only people born to two wizards are truly wizards and everyone else needs to be exterminated.
Mm.
All the mudbloods or whatever should be genocided.
I don't think he cares all that much about muggles, is the thing.
No, it's, yeah, no,
it's
he
just
didn't give a fuck
half
about them.
Wizards or whatever.
Just people that aren't fully wizards. But I mean, I think, yeah, he literally doesn't care about muggles. Like, he has no inkling over whether they live or die. Like,
he's not trying to take over the world. He just.
If he kills 400 million muggles, like, to kill one mudblood, mm-hmm. he'll do that. He cares zero for them. But like, if he has to go out of his way, he doesn't care.
Did his hatred come from any kind of tangible place, or was it just, I'm a wizard racist?
I don't know. Wasn't he an edgy Nazi type?
Oh.
Like, he was a Slytherin, which makes you just like the bad guy.
I don't know what his backstory is, actually. I don't remember.
Tom Riddle?
Well, no, like, I know that. I knew his name was Tom Riddle. I knew he was in Hogwarts, but I don't remember anything about why he became the way he was. What happened to him as a baby?
Was attending Hogwarts.
What if J.K. Rowling was just like, he was raised by two gay dads?
Oh, God.
Fuck.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Right, I can hear that. Yeah.
Oh, that'll be fun to edit around.
Yeah, I don't know if that can be pulled out. I'll read about Tom Riddle while you guys fill during the car alarm. You can maybe cut it out.
So, Lucas, do you have any interest in Back 4 Blood, the video game?
Not especially. Considering the very mixed reviews I've heard, like, I didn't have much interest from the get-go, and now it sounds like I'm not missing much.
Oh, I did not hear any mixed reviews. Like, the ones that I heard were all like, yeah, generally positive. If you liked Left 4 Dead, you'll like this. It's kind of like a modernized Left 4 Dead with like a new, like with a couple new mechanics that keep it fresh. And just like, overall, generally fun time, but definitely not worth it to just get on your own. Like, you have to have two or three friends that also have it to play with.
Yeah, but I mean, we got our big multiplayer game coming up in November now. I want to say November 25th. They pushed it back to.
I've heard some rumblings on the internet that Battlefield is likely to get delayed again after after the stuff that went down with the beta. That it is, a lot of employees are saying it's nowhere near done.
February of next year, like every other game coming out next year. Come on.
It might still come out in November, but
oh boy,
it's not a sure thing anymore.
But then, I don't know, I'm still decently high on Predator Hunting Grounds, so I'm fine digging around in that until Battlefield eventually comes out, or I don't know, maybe if that does run out of steam, Back 4 Blood seems like one of those titles that will hit a discount or
it'll be free 30 bucks on Black Friday. Yeah,
pretty quick, and then we can jump ship. Maybe
sounds good. Yeah, definitely not a game that you need to play at launch.
No.
$60 for Metroid makes total sense. $60 for Back 4 Blood, no fucking way. I'm just kidding. I'm not on Ryan's side on that one.
I'm abandoning my quest. What?
We were talking about Back 4 Blood, and you know, is it a game we want to get? It's kind of a game that you have to have a couple of other friends that also have it to probably really enjoy it. But like, probably just wait for it to go on sale if we get it at all.
Fair. I've heard like nothing about it.
Oh,
I've seen like one little thing.
I've heard some good stuff. Basically just modernized, updated version of Left 4 Dead. So if you liked that shit, you'll like this. Good replayability. But
what is the four?
Four players.
Yeah.
And the same, like, Left 4 Dead, like, is also a four. It's the same thing. It's the same people that made it. It's.
Yeah. We're not defending it.
Yeah, no. We're just saying it's a statement of fact. This is not an argument.
There was no Left 4 Dead 3. Like, it feels weird.
It's a different company. It's the same people, but, like, they left whatever it was to make this company, so.
But the four is so, like, intentional. I don't know.
Yeah, the four is intentional in Left 4 Dead, too. Like,
I know, but Left 4 Dead was the first one. Back 4 Blood is the third one, so it's, like, weird.
There's Left 4 Dead 2, and Back 4 Blood.
Yeah.
But Back 4 Blood is the first game in this new series. It's just a spiritual success. Hey, again, not an argument. This is a statement of fact, Ryan.
I guess.
Yeah, and I'm saying it's dumb. It's bad.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's an argument. That's fine.
I mean, if there were an E somewhere in Back 4 Blood, if they turned that E into a 3 but still called it Back 4 Blood, like, that would be fine, you know? That'd work. That'd be a good way to do it.
It's a 7N.
Yeah.
Just fucking.
I wonder if they would get hit like with a copyright if they like made it obvious that this was the third game in the Left 4 Dead series, because they don't have the rights to it.
I mean, people advertise video games as spiritual successors all the time,
but not in the name. Like,
well,
I think it's flimsy. Yeah, if they're not calling it Left 4 Dead 3, then what do they really have to go off of?
I mean, like, I don't know. The closest one I can think of is that it's a spiritual successor to the Castlevania games, and it's called Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night. Like, that sounds like a Castlevania game. That, if you told me it was Castlevania Bloodstained of the Night or whatever, I'd be like, yeah, that's a Castlevania game name.
But
Castlevania game.
But
name.
That's
game name. Name game.
Never mind. it sounds somewhat related. Yeah, in the same way that Back 4 Blood sounds like Left 4 Dead. If you had told me that the third Left 4 Dead game was called Left 4 Dead 3 Back 4 Blood, yeah, I'd believe it. But those the names are not integrated.
That would actually be a rad as fuck title. I'm calling it that.
Dead, three, back, four, blood.
Yes.
And just all the numbers everywhere.
Oh my god. We can't top that. We gotta cut it here. Thank you all so much for listening to the 381st episode of the Quarantine Cast. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok for highlight clips. Check us out on Patreon if you want to support us or give us money directly through the Anchor Podcast platform. Also, use the ActBlue link in the description to help a collection of great progressive causes. Send us your questions and business opportunities to our email, volunteerviewing@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter for updates at @V2_podcast. And follow me at @LucasDeRuyter on Twitter to keep up with all of my writing. I don't know what to wish you good luck with on a Tuesday, so you don't get any good luck. You're on your own, bud. Bye.